I must confess that whenever I hear in a worship service the invitation for the children to leave the service, I always feel kind of a pang in myself. Can I go too? But no, here I am, and here you are, before God's word from Psalm 119, verses 97 to 120. I had you worried there for a microsecond, didn't I there? God's word. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep thy precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep thy word. I do not turn aside from thy ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe thy righteous ordinances. I am sorely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me thy ordinances. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from thy precepts. Thy testimonies are my heritage forever. Yea, they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform thy statutes forever to the end. I hate double-minded men, but I love thy law. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy promise, that I may live. And let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for thy statutes continually. Thou dost spurn all who go astray from thy statutes. Yea, their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth thou dost count as dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. In the gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent from the 24th chapter of Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks of the day of his return, the coming of the Son of Man. Of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one is taken, one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one is taken, one is left. Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Here ends our reading from God's word, and to God's name be honor and glory and praise forever. I was excited to hear from Randy the invitation to be with you on this first Sunday of Advent, and it brought my mind back, as I've shared with a number of you, to the last time I was here when I had coffee with Bruce Becker in his office after we had lunch. Bruce and I actually came into the presbytery the same year. So we went through a lot together, although we were at seemingly different poles geographically of the presbytery. But it is good to be back, even if it happens only once every 15 years or so. Yesterday I saw a quote in the newspaper, "People see Sunday is December 1 on their calendar, and it really kicks them into gear." This was spoken by one Lisa Wollstromer. No, she is not a Presbyterian pastor, nor any pastor, but rather the senior marketing director of Cherry Hill Mall. And so we see that people all around us are kicking into gear. Perhaps you know some people close to you or whom you see from afar who are in their own way kicking into their December gear. Maybe some of the people you know are going crazy and going nuts. And if it isn't you, then blessed are you. Of course, I've read Psalm 119 for many years in my Christian life, why it takes a long time just to read it through once, after all. But as I was looking through Psalm 119 recently, I was struck by the inventory and the focus. If you know the psalm, perhaps you think of it the way I usually think of it. Okay, here's one verse after another about God's word, God's ordinances, God's testimonies, God's law, and so on and so on. But as I looked more closely at each verse, I saw there was a world that I had long overlooked, beyond God's law, if you will, not aside from God's law, but beyond that narrow focus on God's law that I had previously noticed. It is a world of an emotional universe that you know in your own individual life, and all of you together know comprehensively and movingly and compellingly. It is the world of the feelings that get stirred up in us at this time of year. It is a world of longing. It is a world of joy. It is a world of sadness. It is a world of anger and frustration. It is a world of self-doubt. It's a world of gratitude. It's a world of loneliness. Do you know the feelings? It is the feelings that we all bring into this room this morning and the feelings that we bring into our lives each and every day of them. Thanks be to God that this Psalm 119 is an acknowledgement of that wider world of emotions and of feelings. As I've gone on in my life, I've tried to take cognizance of that wider world in my life. Even if I am a Presbyterian, yet, all the same, I recognize that there is a wider world of feeling and emotion, of exuberance and movement within my heart and within my soul, not just up here in my head. So as we begin this Advent season, take those feelings, those emotions that are ready at hand, and bring them before the Lord, knowing that His Word does address them. We often overlook this world in the Scriptures, but this perspective has helped me to understand many Scriptures that I had previously struggled to grasp. For example, you remember Psalm 137? Snap, snap. Psalm 137, "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept." And I always wondered and struggled with that psalm, especially because it ends in such a harsh note. "Cursed are the children of those who oppose themselves against the people of Israel. Blessed are those who dash their children down upon the rocks." And yet, focusing on the emotion of that psalm, I mean, how much more emotional can a psalm get? "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and studied?" No. "We sat down and read?" No. "We sat down and had an edifying conversation?" No. "We sat down and wept." It's what Jesus did in that shortest verse of the Bible, right? Jesus wept. whatever else Psalm 137 may be, it is a psalm of emotion, of grief, and of sadness, and of anger, and bitterness, and resentment. Maybe then we can understand the entirety of that challenging psalm, even the very end. Or in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 5, which describes who Jesus was. Do you remember how it describes Jesus as the high priest? And how he learned obedience. There is a challenging verse. Through being tested, yet without sin. And how did he live through this life? He offered up loud cries to his Father. That was who Jesus was. He was a man who knew the grief of his weeping, and the power of his own crying to the Father for the fulfillment of his kingdom through his calling and through his mission. So also even in this Psalm 119. If you have a Bible in front of you, let's take a look at some verses. Verse 120, the last verse we read, "My flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments." Fear and trembling. Or look at the first verse we read. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Love, affection, passion, longing. Love, also in verse 113, "I hate double-minded men, but I love thy law." Or verse 119, "All the wicked of the earth thou dost count as dross, therefore I love thy testimonies." And isn't it interesting that love gets juxtaposed with hatred and disdain in the same verse? And that's an interesting thing to think about, how love interacts with other feelings. Shame. Verse 116, "Uphold me according to thy promise that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope." Have you ever looked at the headlines in the paper and wondered, where is the sense of shame these days? Well, since we are Presbyterians, I can assure us all that shame is alive and well in the consciences of people like us. But not just fear or love or shame. Joy. Verse 103, "How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Joy maybe is the word, maybe just happiness, maybe just pleasure and delight. Or in verse 111, "Thy testimonies are my heritage forever." If any one of you, like me, needs to make out your will, here's a good first step. "Thy testimonies are my heritage forever. Yea, they are the joy of my heart." Or verse 107, "I am sorely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to thy word." Sometimes we can simplify the biblical language. To me, that is a verse describing hurt. But in church, we say, "I'm sorely afflicted." Okay, so go figure that. If you said that to someone, they might wonder, "What? You're sorely afflicted? I'm hurting. I am wounded. I am betrayed." And in verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." What's the emotion? What's the feeling there? I sense some anger, some frustration, some rage. So in this season, I encourage you to do what we have just done with this psalm. One of the best things we can do in Advent is to study the scriptures, but also study our lives. As we have taken the emotional temperature of these few verses in Psalm 119, I assure you, if you look through every other section of the psalm, there will be feelings that will burst out to your attention again and again. So also, take the emotional temperature of your life in these weeks, in these days. Advent is a time for us to anticipate and prepare for the birth of Jesus Christ. But as we have heard from today's gospel reading, it is also a time for us to anticipate the second coming of Christ. Sometimes that's a little bit hard for us to grasp, but I always think to myself, if one like Jesus Christ could come once, then he, of all, surely could fulfill his own promise to come again. And when he comes again, he will fulfill the promise of his first foray into this world, where he was a man of passion, a man of anger, a man of grief. He rejoiced. You remember that verse in Luke's gospel, I think it is? It just says in the gospels, Jesus rejoiced and said, I give you thanks, O Father, that what you have revealed to me, you have revealed to children. And he was angry. And he doubted. And yet without sin. So when he comes again to fulfill the purposes of God for you and me, won't be just as bodies or as minds, but also as hearts. Take your emotional temperature in these days and know that the Lord is coming again to fulfill your emotional life as men and women and boys and girls. Children are wonderful barometers of the emotions in this season, aren't they? I was in worship last Sunday, and there was a children's sermon, which I did not give. And the woman asked the children, this is last Sunday, what holiday is coming up? And one girl said, Christmas! Well, beating the calendar a little bit, the exuberance, the anxiety perhaps of this season is so honestly and clearly reflected in the hearts and the words and the lives of the children that are all around us, the children in your life, whether you are a parent or not, they're all around you. Pay notice. Pay attention. As we approach the Lord's table, let me sum up for you some ways in which I think we can bring our emotions and feelings to God. First of all, as we bring our emotions and bring them before God in the light of his word, we find confirmation. We find confirmation that we do have feelings of all kinds. Take inventory of those feelings. Let the Lord confirm the joy in your heart, or the frustration in your heart, or the doubt, or the gratitude. Let the Lord confirm what you feel, as his word always does. But he doesn't just do that. Bring your feelings to the Lord, and let him give you not just confirmation, but also comprehension, an understanding of what joy really is, deep and true joy, or passion. We talk in this world a lot about passion. My wife and I talk about how maybe you work in organizations or in groups that talk a lot about pursuing your passions, and how we find fulfillment in our passions. And Lord knows that there are lots of people who talk about passion in a more base and debased way. What is the fulfillment and understanding of true passion? It is the passion of our Lord. The Word helps us to comprehend what true feelings are. True passion in the cross of Jesus Christ. True joy in the body of Christ. True thanksgiving that might be found at Lincoln Financial Field or whatever is your favorite football field, but most deeply in the comprehension of the thanksgiving of our Lord and of the people of God. Let the Word give you confirmation of your feelings, but also comprehension of where their true soul is. As we approach the Lord's table, let us also anticipate with our feelings a communion with one another as we share with one another, as we're supposed to do in the body of Christ, our sorrows as well as our joys, but knowing also that as we commune with Jesus Christ, we will find him communing with our deepest emotions, whatever they are, and our feelings. He knew them all, didn't he? So let's come to this table with a sense of him ready to receive you just as you are, and knowing that he, in the coming weeks, will give you understanding and comprehension, acknowledgement of who you are, confirming who you are, body, mind, spirit, feeling, and soul, and that we are destined for the return of the Lord and an everlasting, total communion. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that as we come before you, individually and together, that there's nothing we need to hide from you, there's nothing we can hide from you, but that you acknowledge us and receive us as we are. You grant us comprehension and understanding of who we are and who you have destined us to be in Christ, and that as we come before this table this morning, we have a vision of the messianic banquet table, the eternal table of your kingdom, which shall never end. Grant us a thirst for that communion and an abiding hope in Jesus Christ alone, our Lord. Amen.